Hold your Bibles up high. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that your word is alive. It is full of power. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder, soul and spirit, our joints, and even the marrow, and is the discerner, the seer into, the one that sees into our thoughts and even the intents of our heart. That's what you said in your word in Hebrews 12. So God, we receive this word that we're about to have delivered to us. We're ready to use it, and we will give you the honor, the glory for the victory that comes because your word's been planted into our hearts. We cancel the assignment of the devil. He hates us and hates what we're receiving. He comes immediately to steal it. He's not going to use it, just steal it. But we cancel his assignment because you gave us authority over him. You said, greater is he that is in us, that's he that's in the world. So we take authority over him. Remind him he's on his way to the lake of fire in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the good things that are coming to us. Give us revealed knowledge, not just education, not just information, but give us revelation today. Reveal the things that are already there. We just couldn't see them until you gave us the truth to see through. We give you glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's make a confession. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the Word of God says that I am. I have what the Word of God says that I have. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. I am a hearer of God's word on purpose, but I'm not just a hearer. I am also a doer of God's word. And because I am a hearer and a doer of the Word of God, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Jesus' name, I declare it done. And everybody said, amen. Give somebody a high five before you sit down and say, I'm ready to receive this thing. Come on, tell them, I'm ready to receive this thing. I ain't playing. I am ready to receive what God has for me. It's been long enough. That's it. That's it. We ain't playing no more. All right, let's go in our Bibles. Let's go to Mark, the 11th chapter. And the 22nd verse, we're going to look at 23 more strongly. But let's look at Mark, the 11th chapter. And I have been teaching for about 2 months now on the subject of faith. And I want you to get this because I think there's some taboos that the world has given the people that hang around churches or even think about God that we need to get rid of so you can get what God has for you. Amen. There's a load of blessings waiting for you. Say amen to that. Amen. How many ready? You know you like to see the Amazon truck coming through the neighborhood. Come on, talk to me. Now, how many love seeing that Amazon truck coming? My wife, she orders stuff she don't even need. She'll order it and say, I'm gonna give this one away. And she'll order another and say, well, I don't need this one either. She just likes the truck delivering. And so the Amazon truck comes and all the neighbors get to the window. You know what I mean? All the neighbors in our cul-de-sac get to the window. And I have one of our neighbors, they don't like us, they don't talk to us very much. But one of her packages ended up on our porch. And she had to come and get it. Oh, she was the nicest thing, I'm telling you. She don't even say hi. She don't wave. They act like we don't exist. But when that package was on my porch, and I didn't go out there, I saw her coming up. I said, who is it? Oh, I'm here. You have my package. I said, let me see. Yeah, I saw her on her ring. Yeah, I saw her, you know, on our ring camera. And so I pushed the button to talk to her. Who is it?
I'm one of your neighbors.
I said, which one? I had a great time with that. But she was looking for that package. Boy, she got that package, and she was all smiles. She was the nicest thing because she knew, I want my package. See, and God has packages waiting for you. Some of them going to come through Amazon. Depends on what you're believing for. Some of them will come different ways. I mean, Walmart's waiting for you. I'm going over here. Y'all ain't acting too friendly right now. Y'all okay? Everybody okay over here? Okay, all right. But see, what we need to do is realize that God uses faith to transfer things to you. God uses faith to transfer things to you. Write that down. If I were you, I'd write that down. Because this whole thing has to do with things. Now, we have been taught, especially in the church, don't concern yourself about things. Well, I'm here to let you know the whole thing about faith is things. Now, it's not just about things, because salvation is a thing you need. All right, come on now. Getting saved, going to heaven, missing hell. You see, even if you didn't believe there's a heaven or hell, I'd just do it just for insurance. I just get saved just to say I did. Because if it is right and you wrong, at least you cover. You know what I mean? So I just give my life to Jesus either way. So it's not going to hurt you by coming to the Lord, but faith is used to transfer things. Please write that down. Faith is used to transfer things. Now this week we have a faith statement that I've been giving you, various faith statements. And this one I want you to write down also, after you wrote down that last thing I just gave you concerning the transfer. Please write this down. Faith is a controlled substance. I heard some of you folks that hang around that controlled substance going, I didn't know that. No, I'm serious. Faith is a controlled substance. Say amen. Come on, say amen. Amen. Faith is what you control. It is a substance that God gives us the ability to control. You can build your faith. You can have shipwrecked faith. You can have little faith. You can have no faith. You can have great faith. All of these are quoted in the Bible, a lot of them by Jesus. You can have feigned or unfeigned faith. We'll deal with a lot of these issues here. But faith is a controlled substance. This is our statement. Each week I've been giving you a faith statement. Last week I gave you a faith statement that was very important for you to grab a hold of, and I'm going to repeat it because it bears repeating. It's important for us to know these things because as we learn, we grow. See, as you come to church, you shouldn't come to church. I don't mean you grow. I mean you grow in the Lord. You grow. You grow to be where you're not always bugged by everything. Everything doesn't bug you as you grow in the Lord. It's water on the duck's back. You don't even care no more. Because it used to bug you, but not anymore, because you know that God has a better plan than even what you see in front of you. When you get into faith, please write this down. When I get into faith, the invisible becomes important. The invisible, what you cannot see, is actually more important than what you can see. Did you hear what I just said? It's important to be able to hang on to what you cannot see than what you can see. Now, I have been explaining faith for 2 months. Now we're going to actually get into faith. Today we're going to jump into faith. We're not going to just get these explanations, and of course what I'm giving you are explanations, but we're going past that today. It's time to really deal with some faith. Now last time I gave you the faith statement, please write this one down. Faith starts where the will of God is known. In order to have faith for something, faith has to have a starting point. And that starting point is once you know what the will of God is on whatever subject. Let's take healing, for example. Faith cannot come until you know God's will on healing. That by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. And I like to say it ebonically because people remember it. And if you are healed, then you is healed. So present tense, you are healed. Not that you were healed, but yes, you were healed because Jesus paid for your healing 2,000 years ago when he paid for your salvation on the tree, the cross. But if you are, you are, which means you is. You are healed. Now what happens is that you have to believe past your feelings. Because you don't feel healed. You feel sick. That is a circumstance. And we don't use faith based on circumstances because they can change. We build our faith not on what the circumstance is, but we build our faith on where the will of God is. If I know it's God's will for me to go to heaven, I can have faith to believe in Jesus Christ and go to heaven. But you can't have that until you know it's God's will for you not to go to hell. Now, I visited both in the spirit. God showed me hell. I actually saw in the spirit hell. And I saw heaven. In the spirit, he took me there. Bottomless pit where you fall forever. It's a bottomless pit. You fall and fall and fall and fall and fall and fall. I've been in this place called the underworld, Hades, where the dead that die without Christ are waiting for judgment. He showed me these things in the spirit. Why? I don't know. But one thing he told me is that you can't keep it a secret. You cannot keep this a secret. I want you to tell it everywhere you go. Now, that was during 6.5 years that this congregation witnessed of me being out. Because someone in the hospital, this lady, while I was checking out after having two surgeries, emergency surgeries, said, you really need this medicine. Shorten the story. She jabbed me with a needle she had hid behind her back. She took the needle and put it in my left arm, and when she squeezed down to allow that needle to be able to be released, the contents to be released in my arm, I went on my tippy toes and said, "What was that?" It felt like some thick lotion, and the needle was like this big. And in my mind, I said, "I know I can't get this out of me. Once it gets in your bloodstream, there's no way to wash my blood except through the blood of Jesus." And for 6.5 years, I walked into this church and said nothing to nobody, basically. I couldn't even address my wife because immediately that afternoon, my body started shutting down. My organs were dying. And I ended up having the operation originally in Vancouver, but driving back to Tacoma, coming back home, my son-in-law and my daughter driving us home, and ended up at home for 20 minutes and had to be rushed to Tacoma General because my liver was dying. Other organs were shutting down. And that chemical stayed in my body for 6.5 years. But God heard my wife and many of your prayers, many of the ministers that I know, praying. And after 6.5 years, he took me out of that stupor. My mind came back because I could not think straight. I couldn't read my Bible. For 2 years, I didn't even go to church. I'm the pastor. My son had to take over. My wife had to take over. Our deacons had to take over. But God is good. My wife said, "I fly airplanes and helicopters." That's correct. I'm a commercial pilot on both. But I couldn't fly anything for 6.5 years because you have to be medically checked out to be able to continue to use your license. And I didn't even attempt to because somebody poisoned me. This is why I have a heart for drug addicts. Because I know what it feels like to put something in your body that takes control of your body. And I have a heart for people that's strung out on drugs and want to get back. But it's going to take faith to get back in Jesus' name. Say amen to that. So God does heal. My wife got to the point where she was tired of just saying, I'm believing by faith. She said, now, God, what I want, I'm believing that by faith, you're giving my husband a miracle. And all of a sudden, it's like I started waking up. That stuff was out of me. There's a case right now concerning postpartum illnesses that happen to women because they go through an operation and have a child and depression sets in. And then the medicines that they give you after that onset of depression causes even more depression. They tried to give me medicine on top of the medicine they shouldn't have gave me that poisoned my body. And they told me that I was supposed to take that medicine. I took it for about a month or two. But all I did with that medicine, see, God has to deliver you out of some things. All that medicine had me do was sit in the living room and stare at the wall. All day long, I would stare at the wall while my wife get picked up by my daughter and my son. And I stare at the wall and stare at the wall and stare at the wall. All the animation that you see in my life was not here. My body basically was atrophy. I couldn't function. I couldn't go. But faith was heard. When the saints started praying, when my wife started believing, when she said, I need now to use my faith for a miracle. And that's what she got. Now we're back to normal. I'm chasing around the house again. Sometimes she slowed down like she did last night. Let me catch her. Gave me a big hug. Said, oh, that feels so good. I said, praise God. We've been busy, but, oh, I love you, girl. 52 years of marriage. We drive down the street going places, and we look at each other and say, God gave me my life back, didn't he? God answered some prayer. By faith, God will change your life. You, I prophesy over you, and I don't call myself a prophet. I'm other things, but I'm not a prophet. But I prophesy over you. You stick with God with this thing that I'm talking to you about. 2 years from now, a year from now, people won't even recognize you. They will not even know who you are anymore because faith changes lives. Let's go to Mark 11 and 22. The Bible says, come on now, Mark 11, 22, put it up there. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. But the doctor said, it's incurable. What did Jesus say? Now, wait a minute now. Okay. But the bills, I haven't been able to pay them all. I've been in debt for a long time. What does God say? All right, wait. My child is still out there. I don't know where he's at. He's on drugs. He's running with the gangs. He's having problems. I don't know. But what does God say? All right. My marriage, it looks like it's gone. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we don't even like being in the same room no more. Come on now. What you going to do? Have faith in God. Now, God allowed Jesus to give this word to us regardless of our conditions. Have faith in God. About what? About everything in your life. Have faith in God. How do I have faith in God? How do I do that?
What do I do to have faith in God? Okay, you're telling me have faith in God. How do I have faith in God? What do I do to get faith in God?
First of all, let me have you understand this. Whatever you need to receive in your life, you need to receive the word of God on that subject. Amen. And you know what happens? That's where a lot of us just stop. Because it hurts to hear the word of God correct us. And gives us ideas of things that we need to change in our life. I'll take it to the very elementary. If you know you've lived to be a rascal or a rasclette, sister, I think I'll trademark that one. If you've been one of them rascals that you know you ain't lived right, what you need to hear about is how to change that. Oh, yes. Think about it. If you've been fighting with those dead presidents for 10, 20 years, I'm talking about them dead presidents on your dollars, trying to hang on to them and they keep slipping away. You need to hear something about money out of the Word of God. And learn how to have faith in God based on your money. You've been dealing with depression and oppression. You're always under the weather. You need to hear the word of God. I got that. You need to hear the word of God concerning joy, peace, the victory you have in Jesus. You need to be around people that make you uncomfortable because they praise God all the time. You need to be around happy folk with your sad acting self. You know what I'm talking about. My mom used to call a sad sack. You a sad sack, boy. I said, what's a sad sack? I don't know what a sad sack is. I never did find out. I forgot to ask her before she left, went to heaven. But see, we need to realize that God has a remedy for us in faith for anything. How do I raise these children? Have faith in God. How do I handle my personal life? Get my life together. Have faith in God. Now, here's the problem. You're going to have to sit two things in front of God. I want everybody to go like this. Come on now. It may feel silly, but go like this. You got two apparatus, one on one side, the other on the side. God knew you needed to hear double. So you don't have one ear on your on the top of your head. So you can't miss it. So as that word comes by, you can be able to catch it, okay? And it sort of sticks out a little bit. You have to hear to receive faith. You cannot receive faith by any other way in God. Because faith, we'll go to the scripture, but not now. Faith comes by hearing. And this is, okay, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. This is why the devil tries to keep you out of where you can hear this word. He wants you broke, busted, and disgusted. And if he can just keep you from hearing the word of God, mission accomplished. He'll tell you all kinds of things. That's just a man up there. That's true, but the man's got an anointing from God. Oh, that's just a book that people wrote. No, it's not. God used people, but God wrote it. Oh, you can't believe everything you hear. I heard about my cousin who had a tough time trying to be a Christian, went crazy reading the Bible. That's a lie. Ain't nothing but a lie. Ain't go crazy reading the Bible. You go crazy not reading it, though. There's a whole lot of folks that do that. See, the enemy will use all kinds of excuses. All they want is your money. Here we go. Here's the hot one. All they want is your money. God already has your money. Just die. You'll find out. You ain't taking nothing with you. I done enough funerals. I look into the coffin, too. I do. While everybody's walking around and crying and stuff, I'm looking. Where the money?
I don't see no money up in there. Where the money? I've checked pockets. You know? I see, do they have the ring on? You know, did I watch when we get to the gravesite, you know, did they take the ring off of them? You know what I'm talking about. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. So you are not going to take this with you. And most of them ain't got nothing to take anyhow. I don't know what we're trying to protect. Because to God, it's really not very much. See, I'm having fun with you, but God wants you to have faith in him. He wants you to have faith in him. He wants you to just lock in. I don't care what everybody else says, have faith in God. And listen to God's representatives. I just threw that one in. God didn't tell me to say that one. Okay. Now, I remember going to heaven. When I went to heaven, I stood outside the Emerald Gate. There's three gates, and then there's three gates, and then there's three gates, and then there's three gates. Okay? 12 gates to the city. I stood outside the Emerald Gate, the Green Gate, and all I heard, that's what impacted me more than anything. The music that I heard. It has impacted my life so much that we don't live without music any longer, because heaven is never really quiet. There's always worship. There's songs all the time around the throne. The elders and the those that are around the throne, they are always worshiping. There's always praise. Why? Because they're hearing in the song the word. The word of God is being sung in those songs. And you hear it all the time. It affected my life so much. God has just gifted me with so many different musical things now. A lot of it I haven't even exposed to this church. But because of one time of hearing, it changed my life. And it caused me, he gifted me because of what I heard. Why did he do all this? I have no idea. I wasn't even asking for this. But God released it. Now, I'm telling you, it's because of what you hear. Faith comes by hearing. So how do we have faith in God? You've got to be careful what you hear. You want to hear those that are saying or concurring with what God says. There's a lot of voices. Too many. I was in radio. I taught radio. I mean radio broadcasting. They don't even really do it like they used to. Where radio announcers and teaching them how to be able to keep an audience, get ratings, and make money. And I was in that business for a long period of time and taught at the college level concerning radio twice and television. And one of the things about it is that I started seeing music change. I remember the first rap song that came out. One of them was Grandmaster Flash. See, now, I know I'm messing with you now. I know I'm messing with some of y'all because you're old enough to remember that. And you know, you remember the hip-hop, hippity-hop, hip-hop, don't stop. Some of y'all too young. I can't talk to you. Ask your mom. She'll tell you. Ask your grandma. She really know. She's the one up in the miniskirt going like that. The Grandmaster Flash, you know what I mean. But I remember hearing that, and I said to myself, without even really knowing it, that's it. I'm done. I'm out of this. Because you don't have to be able to sing to put on a record no more. You can be an idiot saying idiotic things and get a number one record. So I said, I'm out of this. Because I knew I didn't want to go to hell. And people are going to talk stupid. And then they're going to start cussing. Have they done that yet? Yes. See, you got to understand, words are important. What you hear. Now, some of you, you're going to go in the car and look at that
musical device you got in there and wonder, you know, should I keep playing that? I'm not trying to get on your case. I'm just trying to help you to understand that faith comes by hearing. And if you hear the wrong thing consistently, you'll believe it. This is why there's a whole group of people, a whole race of people that have had a challenge struggling to become successful in many ways, while immigrants come into this country. Okay, I can go there. Okay. Immigrants come in this country, know nothing about this country, and exceed faster. It's because of what they were told. And God never said that. You are the head and not the tail. You are above only and not beneath. God has good things waiting for you. I'm telling you good news. I'm a preacher of the good news. So if you want some bad news, you're going to have to turn on TV this afternoon and watch some news from somewhere else, because I'm here to tell you the good news. Whatever the bad news in your life, God has some good news for you, because the bad news is over in Jesus' name when you put your faith in God. Say amen to that. So I heard things, and we now hear things. And I heard that music back then. I said, I'm done. I can't deal with this. I cannot deal with this. Have faith in God. Why? Next verse, we'll do that and pick it up next week. Watch this now. Have faith in God. Let's go to verse 23. For assuredly, or for sure, I say to you, for sure, I say to you. Jesus is speaking here. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. Now, how many really need today to throw Mount Rainier in the sea? Anybody here? It ain't gonna benefit you, are, is it? But you got some mountains in your life you need to get out of your way. You got some mountains of fear. You got mountains of financial mountains. I mean, come on now. Some of us got, we got a stack of bills that makes a mountain. Come on now. He said, be removed and cast into the sea. In other words, get out of my way. And does not doubt in his heart. See, you got to come up here long enough to be like Abraham, who was the father of faith and is the father of faith. He was fully persuaded that what God said, he was going to do. And some of us are sort of nervous in the service. We ain't quite bought off on this thing. We go to church every once in a while, but don't tell me to have faith in God. I don't know if that's really going to work. We got to get you past that so we can get the things you need in your life so you can stop wanting everything and not having what God has for you. It's time to get it home, bring it home. Amazon's coming. I said Amazon's coming to your house. It's time. See, now, if we do this, we're going to see a blessing in our life like we never, never, ever saw. Be removed and cast into the sea. Get the mess out of your face. Get away from having to fool. I know I'm talking very strong, but I feel strong right now. I feel like Mighty Mouse. But he believes those things he says will be done. See, a lot of times we believe what other people say, but God wants to get you to the point where you believe what you say. Once you start saying the right thing, you say that you're sick, you'll stay sick. You say we're always broke, I come from a broke family, you'll stay broke. Now, you might not even say it with your mouth, but remember that scripture? What we ask or think. You can't think you're nothing and become something. Your words come from your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You think in two places. I'm going too fast. You think in two places. You speak from either your head or your heart. Because you think in your heart. When you think in your heart, that's when you really mean, when you tell somebody, I love you, and you really mean it. It's coming from the heart. But you can tell somebody off the top of your head, I love you. It don't mean nothing. Because you think from here, and you think from here.
You think from the inner man, and you think from your head. And sometimes we get tricked with people saying, like it's coming from here. But it's coming from here. God knows. You got to believe from your heart. There's people that's gone to church and acted like they got saved. But they prayed from here. They never prayed from here. You confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart. God raised him from the dead. You don't believe from your heart. You never did believe from your heart. You believe from your head. Oh, yes, I got to get out of here. I'm hungry. Lunchtime. I believe Jesus is the Lord and save me. Yeah, come into my life and all that stuff. Leave me alone. That's not a real conversion. You're not going to get salvation. Watch. You're not going to get the things you want. A bank robber, I'll close with this. I wrote this in my book, Casting Out Imaginations, also take control of your thoughts. A bank robber believes his plan to rob that bank is going to work. He uses faith. I mean, he studied the tellers. He knows which one goes on break at what time. He knows when the security guard goes asleep. He does. He believes he knows what's going on. He knows when Loomis comes in and out. He's got faith that when he gets in there, because, see, nobody walks into the bank and all of a sudden says, oh, Shazam, a gun. Oh, stick him up. Nobody do that. You know what they do? They have planned this thing for weeks. They have studied that bank. They watch film. They're like their football players trying to figure out how to be able to win against the next team. They know. And so when they walk in there, they really believe this is going to work, and they see themselves rolling in dough. But they end up in the Gray Bar Motel on the inside looking out. But they thought for sure, they believed it was going to work. See, and this is the thing about us. When we trust in God, when we have faith in God, we ain't hoping and a praying. We're not thinking it's going to work. It's guaranteed. You stand on God's word about whatever you need, and it's coming to pass in Jesus' name. Say, have faith in God. Turn to somebody and say, have faith in God. Turn to the one that you didn't talk to and say, have faith in God. Come on, tell them, have faith in God. Say, have faith in God. Say, have faith in God. Say it again. Say, have faith in God. Now make it personal. Say, I have faith in God. Say, I have faith in God. Even if you don't say it, come on, maybe it'll change you. Say, I have faith in God. I believe God is helping me to receive the things that I need. Say, I have faith in God. Say, you have faith in God. Say, but let's have faith in God. Say, I have faith in God. I have faith in God. You're convincing yourself. Now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're saying the word of God. You're the first one that believes you. So you need to say that all day long. I have faith in God. Shoot, I got faith in God. They said it wasn't going to work, but I got faith in God. I know I feel sick, but I got faith in God. I know they're acting a fool, but I got faith in God. I know they're trying to fire me, but I got faith in God. I ain't worried about what they're saying, because I got faith in God. Faith in God. You got faith in God? I got faith in God. If you ain't got faith in God, I don't want to get around you. I need people with faith in God. Have faith in God. Don't cheapen that. Don't let nobody take it from you. You take that faith and believe you receive in Jesus' name. Clap your hands, everybody. That's all the time I got. Next week, we're going to talk about things, how faith brings things. It's time to receive things. Close your Bibles, please. Father, in Jesus' name, we seal this word. We thank you, Lord, for it. And we make the confession. Make it with me in this prayer. Say, I have faith in God. Even if you don't think you do, say, I have faith in God. Even if you're trying to get the faith, say, I have faith in God. I have faith in God to help me in my life, to help me with my finances, to help me with my health, with my family, with my relationships. I have faith in God to help me with my future. I'm not living in fear. I have faith in God. Father, seal this word in the hearts of these people, I pray now.
And we'll give you the glory for the victory that comes because of it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Get excited. God is good.